The League of Legends betting podcast is brought to you by my patrons at patreon.com/gelatilol. There you can find bonus content like in-depth articles on macro trend analysis and league previews, as well as thoughts on breaking news and the podcast picks before the show is released to platforms. You also get to support your creators more directly. patreon.com/gelatilol. That's G-E-L-A-T-I-L-O-L. Good afternoon, everybody. It is currently a little bit after 5 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. We have a two-match slate on Thursday morning in the LPL and LCK. Two sides I like a lot. Looking forward to this slate, actually. I think we have some pretty weird prices on this one. Just a quick recap of this morning. We had D-Plus versus Gen.G. This turned into an absolute slobber knocker of a series. The game one of this match, I thought it was really funny. As we're watching this match, I thought the first, like the draft that D-Plus were assembling was more or less exactly what I wanted until they R5'd Aurelion Sol, and I was like, this doesn't fit with everything else. Like, they were more or less like playing for an early game, drafting for an early game, and then like drafted this Aurelion Sol, and then it ended up like giving them no agency in the game, and they just kind of got choked out by Gen.G. They didn't have a really clean way to engage, especially with the TF kind of mucking things up for them. They just had no clean in. Like, they had no way to get in, and Gen.G literally just, like, Griffin-style boa constrictored them out, and they couldn't really do anything about it. The rest of this series, though, I think D-Plus kind of recognized the error of their ways in the next three games and really just sold out for early game and actually snowballed two out of three of these games and won. It pushed this to a fifth game. This was a very, very well-played match overall. Like, D-Plus played very, very well today. I knew they'd be competitive. I was very confident that this would become a series. I didn't think they'd necessarily get it home, but I did think they were live. Game 5, they kind of had the same issue that they did in Game 1, where they it was maybe a little bit less so. They drafted more of a late-game look, trying to match scaling with Gen.G. They were on red side, so they didn't have as much, you know, agency. But again, it wasn't quite as egregious as the first game with the lack of engage and everything. But I thought the drafts were still relatively balanced. It's just I didn't want to see D-Plus trying to play Gen.G's game. They did. It was an incredibly competitive game 5, back and forth. Could have gone either way, but Gen.G did edge them out in the end. And It was an awesome series. This was a really, really good series. We got to see a couple interesting counter picks that worked and didn't work. Just super well played from everyone. I thought Lucid had a couple moments. You could tell he was like, this is his, he's still a rookie. You could tell he got caught out in a couple spots that, you know, maybe he shouldn't have. But overall, very, very good performance. Excellent game. If that's the D-plus we're going to see moving forward, God, I hope they can get back and like run the loser's bracket or something, because that would be really entertaining. Obviously, I think confirmation bias a little bit, but like it was very, very, very clear that that price was just dead wrong, and that's why I staked up on D-plus, and I thought that position was very, very good yesterday. The other match in the LPL was, I think, significantly less well played. This was an absolute bonanza series. LNG, Weibo. Weibo win the first two games. LNG brought it back, won the next two, forced a game 5, and Weibo eventually got across the finish line in game 5. I didn't get a chance to review in full the last two games of this match. I'm going to like, I'm just telling you right now, like, I watched the first three. I didn't get a chance to review. I'm running very, very short on time here this afternoon. But, just, like, briefly looking over this, like, game 5 was a pretty decisive. I mean, it was, like, relatively close through the first, like, 25, but Weibo were more or less in full control of that game. I thought there was a chance they get outscaled, but they just played cleaner. Game 4 was just a one-way stomping for LNG. So, like, yeah, I don't know. The first three games of this series turned in, like, were kind of a shit show, and the rest of it was, I think, more what you'd expect with these two teams. Like, actually, no, the opposite. The first three games were kind of what I expected from a match with these two teams. The second, like, the last two games actually were very uncharacteristically these teams. Like, not these teams. So, it's kind of an interesting look. If I have any more thoughts to add on this after, like, I have to rewatch 4 and 5. Like, if I have any more additional thoughts on these two, I'll let you know tomorrow on the show, because we're going to be handicapping that match anyway. All right, moving on to the Thursday slate. We have two matches. I'm going to do the LCK first because that happens first. Round two, day two, we have T1 minus 180 on the money line, minus 1.5 maps at plus 123, and the sweep is at plus 364 against Hanwha Life Esports, plus 147 on the money line, plus 1.5 maps at minus 149, plus 2.5 at minus 495, minus 1.5 at plus 293, minus 2.5 is at plus 800. T1 15-2 is favorites, 13-4 against the map spread this season. Hanwha Life 1-3 as dogs, 1-3 against the map spread this season. Notably, T1 25. Out of 38 games as favorites have gone over, but the kill total has been a relatively low 23.09 kills per on average for the kill total. So the two matches today are good examples of why I do filtered samples for the playoffs. I try to do it during the regular season, but ultimately, like, I actually have it set up to do that. It's just, like, for content purposes, it's just a lot of extra work to go through for like posting everything and having everything, and it's just like it's a little too much for me for the amount of hours I have to devote to this. So I don't do it always during the year. I keep it in mind and I have it open on my end, but I don't always do it for the actual posts. But I like to do it for playoffs because I think there's a very clear illustration of, you know, who's just stomping on bad teams and who's actually performing well against the good teams. And I think that's critically important when you get into a best of five in the playoffs. So this should be a good match. Hopefully it's a good match like this morning's was, but I have a feeling it won't be. So, over the last 2 years, really year and a half, since Hanwha have had the Viper Zekka iteration of this team with the same coaching staff, they've kind of given T1 issues at times. I think their bottom lane's been very, very good, and it's been one of the only bottom lanes that really gave T1s any kind of trouble over the last year and a half. They've gotten a couple series against them. I want to point out, though, that the last time these two played, T1 were minus 303, Hanwha were plus 237. We ended up backing Hanwha in that series because I thought the price was out of line. That was also the week that Azir got disabled, and it was very short notice for T1, and they had to play against like D plus the weekend before and then come right back and play Hanwha the next week. And I think, like, I don't like to point to one champion being an issue, but Azir has been such a core to like T1 strategy for this season that suddenly taking that away was like kind of a jarring thing. And we saw them, like, that mattered. Like, they actually struggled against, like, once D plus laid the plan out, or Genji laid the plan out on how to beat them with the Azir disabled by taking away the Orianna and like forcing them to do something different. Teams aren't going to have that luxury here. I mean, you could choose to take those two champions away in draft if you want to, but it's going to leave other stuff up that you don't want to deal with. So I don't think that's really a feasible option. But like, the point I'm making is it mattered a lot, and it really disrupted kind of the flow that T1 had going. I also think that they were playing a little bit more sloppy at the time, and it was just kind of a perfect storm of a position to back Hanwha in that spot. Now, Azir is re-enabled on this patch. T1 have had a series to digest what Hanwha played against. I mean, it was against Kwangdong, but T1 have had some time to digest and prepare for Hanwha. If you look quantitatively at, like, all the numbers for this, against playoff teams, Hanwha have had a lead of any size at 20 minutes in just 46.2% of their games. They've had a significant lead in just 11.5% of their games. T1 lead in almost 70% of their games, significantly so in 30% of their games. Hanwha have 4 lucky graded wins to T1's 2. T1 have twice the amount of quality wins against playoff competition and an 87.5% closing rate with a lead. Now, what I will give Hanwha some, you know, props for is that they keep games relatively close a lot of the time. But again, that's by design. That's how they play. That's how they draft. They play to keep games relatively close. They're not playing to proactively blow games open. And as I've said ad nauseum a bajillion times, like a broken record, they are a pure counterpunching team. The numbers bear that out. The film bears that out. They've gotten a little bit better at being proactive, but it really takes a lot to force them out of their shell, and I just don't think they're going to be doing that with any kind of consistency, at least. Now, T1, really, I think this entire handicap comes down to whether or not you think T1 is going to play a clean series this morning or tomorrow morning, because Hanwha's going to do what they do. I don't think Hanwha's going to be doing anything out of character in this series. So it really comes down to whether or not you think T1 play cleanly. If T1 play badly, Hanwha can beat them. Literally, Hanwha are designed to beat teams that make mistakes. But So really it comes down to what do you think T1 are going to play well tomorrow. If T1 play well tomorrow, this could be a 3-0 or a 3-1. And, you know, Hanwha are probably just going to get steamrolled in the early game. T1 are exceptional at that. They've had the week to prepare here. They had the bye. They have the higher seed. They have side choice. Hopefully they have something cooked up. I would think Carrier probably has something special cooked up for dealing with the bottom lane. If you think T1 are on and playing average or better tomorrow, this is probably going to be a 3-1 or a 3-0. If you think that they're going to be off, I think the Hanwha plus 2.5 maps and the Hanwha plus 1.5 maps are like the best way to play against that. You could play the money line if you want, but like if you think T1 have one or two really sloppy bad games, then play the Hanwha map spreads. But I really can't get there with this price. Like, I think T1 should be, like, I mean, they were 303 the last time, which was overpriced. I think this should probably be in the range of like minus 200, minus 225. I think T1 money line minus anything like 185 or better is a good play. I got earlier this morning, I released a look ahead on the Patreon, and we got minus 164 for 2 units on the number grab, because I figured this would end up only going toward T1 after the matches this morning. I really just like T1 should be bigger favorites than this. I just think it's wrong. I think the market's way giving way too much credit to the last match that happened and not looking at it with any kind of context, which was like at the time T1 were playing pretty bad relative to themselves, and the Azir thing happened, and they had a tough schedule like those 2 weeks. So they had a lot to prep for those 2 weeks. So I think it's tough for, you know, a percentage price to look to develop all that context, you know, in a vacuum, unless you're actually nerding out on it like we are. So I think it's just a massive adjustment from, like, I mean, look, that was a 75% implied win rate to a 64.3% in this series. That's more than a 10% adjustment based on the result of one best of three. I don't buy it. I don't think that's the case. I like T1 quite a bit in this contest. I'm also going to be playing kill total overs. Hanwha have been a pretty tame team in general. They've been an under team, but they have been an under team against bad teams. If you look at the combined kills per minute numbers for these two teams against the playoff teams and patrons, I posted the filtered kill filtered sample kill analysis for this one. T1 are a 0.8, or well, both these teams are well above league average in combined kills per minute when looking at just the playoff team sample. And Hanwha are actually at a 0.9 combined kills per minute against playoff teams. So, you know, I think this should probably be lined. This should be up another kill. Like, this should be the actual fair should, like, the minus 115 on both sides kill total should probably be 25.5 or even 26.5. And we're getting plus money on 25.5. So I played over 25.5 plus 111 on all three maps, or the first three maps, for 1.5 units each. I'm staking up on that. The model loved tower total overs as well, or tower total unders. I apologize. I'm not playing them. Combined, these two teams go over that total in just 20.2% of their games. The market implied price is 42%. That's a massive edge. You have to make some kind of adjustment because playoff matches tend to be more kitchen sink kind of situations, and teams tend to throw everything there, and you tend to get a lot more neutral overs in playoff series. So I still think it's worth a play at the price, but I kind of think the kill total over is a better angle than the tower unders in this specific spot. So I didn't play both. I just played the one. I think the kill total overs are a better look in this spot. All right. LPL round 3, day 1. We have Fun Plus Phoenix minus 124 on the money line. -1.5 maps is at plus 168. -2.5 is at plus 474. The +1.5 is at minus 266. Against Ninjas in Pajamas, plus 102 on the money line. +1.5 is at minus 207. +2.5 maps is at minus 681. The -1.5 is at plus 212. And the -2.5 is at plus 593. Fun Plus 4-2 outright as favorites, but just 1-5 against the map spread, which is very, very strange. Very, very strange given how this team has performed this season, because that more or less implies that they've been favored. It's interesting because they've been favored against the bad teams, and they haven't been able to cover map spreads against the bad teams. Now, most of those were pretty early on in the season, but it's just giving you a heads up. It was kind of just a funny thing. Ninjas in Pajamas, 0-3 outright as underdogs, 0-3 outright against the map spread. Very interesting. They have not been underdogs in a lot of cases, and That's anyone's guess why. They've really only been dogs to Bilibili, JDG, and Top Esports, and they got walloped in all three games. So this is yet another series where I think it's critically important to look at what you're dealing with in terms of like how these teams perform against other good teams. Last week, I actually reiterated and posted it again on the Patreon, but if you look at the filtered version of the model power ratings for these teams, FunPlus Phoenix actually graded as the number two team in the LPL. NIP were right around league average, and I think that's important to take into consideration here. I know FunPlus didn't get across the finish line against the favorites every time, but they played very competitive games very often against the elite teams and were very, very good against the like other playoff teams. Just looking at FPX's performance against other playoff teams, they had a 73.3% quality win rate. A third of their games were significant leads at 20 minutes against playoff teams. Two-thirds of their games had any lead at 20 minutes. Only 9.5% of their games against playoff teams had a significant deficit at 20. They had nearly a 1,700 agnostic gold per minute and a plus 81 agnostic gold differential per minute against playoff teams. Those are seriously, seriously impressive numbers. If you're 1,700 agnostic gold per minute is world championship winning quality, and not even elite teams don't often have that against other good teams, like when you filter their sample out, and FPX do. This is a world-class team. I know they have a rookie jungler, and that's the question, but the kid's a beast. He's really, really good. Having that level of performance against playoff teams is seriously impressive, and I can't state enough how awesome that is for FunPlus. Now, Ninjas in Pajamas haven't been bad against playoff teams by any stretch, but like they're much more like average compared to everything. Now, obviously, like when you look at this, like I think when you look at the filtered sample, it really illustrates that it's like a four-team league. Like, the LPL is like, I mean, it already kind of is a four-team league just in general, but it shows you like just how much more, like how drastic the level is from like the top four to the next six, like the other six playoff teams. Like, I think literally the only reason FunPlus Phoenix aren't like a Dominique Wilkins windmill slam here is because they're coming in cold and because they have a lot less of an experienced roster. They have a couple guys. I mean, a lot of this FPX roster have been in playoffs before, so it's not their first rodeo, but the main player, the key piece, Milky Way, this is his first playoffs, and this will be his first playoff series, and you never know how a rookie's going to perform in their first playoff series. Like, you know, you see this in traditional sports, you see it in League of Legends. It's a dynamic that's very real, and it happens, right? Now, I don't necessarily think that means he's going to choke or anything like that, but it's really the only concern that I have in this series. And then on the other end of the spectrum, NIP have a ton of experience, right? This is a team, especially with Rookie. Rookie's seen everything. He's been around forever. He's seen everything there is to see over the years. Now, I think NIP can hang their hat on like that experience advantage and that FPX are coming in cold, while NIP got the warm-up series, they got tested right away. I think NIP can hang their hat on that, but I still have issue with their mid and late game navigation. You know, yesterday I covered in the recap that like that game four throw was probably the most egregious throw I've seen in 2024. And, you know, I thought about it some more over the past day or so, and I think that might have been one of the worst throws I've ever seen, ever, even though they won the game. They were up 15k gold, they had soul, they were up 17-1 in kills, they had a Nexus turret down before, this is all before 30 minutes, that's an insurmountable lead. And they found a way to screw it up and lose Elder, lose the straight, they lost a 5v4 fight, they picked somebody before that fight happened, they still lost a 5v4 fight. This team just finds ways to screw situations up, and they almost did it again in game five. And this isn't the first time we've seen this game, like from this team. They've really just bungled a lot of mid and late games that seemed unlosable. 60% is not a terrible closing rate against good teams, but man, oh man, like they find like really that's a 60% closing rate, but like, I would say probably 15%. Like they should probably be. There's a handful of games in there that they had no. They screwed up and probably should have lost and got away unscathed somehow. Now they get credit for the experience. They get credit for FPX coming in cold. And I will give NIP credit for like actually still getting across the finish line in a lot of games that they screw up. there's something to be said for that. But I do not see any reason why FPX aren't larger favorites in this contest, other than the market is way, way too rooted in their preseason expectation for NIP. Again, like, this is a team, we saw this team, like, they're good, but they have problems, and they were still only underdogs three times this season. They were only dogs three times this season. And, like, this will be the fourth time. I think one of these teams is way better than the other one is, and, you know, on the Rift, here's the other thing that comes into this, right? Fun Plus Phoenix have had a few games where they had no business winning against elite teams, and they actually fought back. They're a super, super resilient team against an NIP team that constantly screws up mid and late game and just relies on having massive leads to even get across the finish line, and they still struggle to do that. I mean, I literally don't know why Fun Plus aren't north of -200 in this series. They've been a way, way better team this season. Like, they're not without flaws, but there's not many. And I think in this specific matchup, like, other than the coming in cold and the experience angle, I have no idea why they're not huge favorites. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, these, I mean, the model made this -300. I'm not quite that bullish, but, like, they should be north of 200 in this match. They have side choice. They've been a way better team this season. They have a way better sample against good teams than NIP do. And they also just got to watch a series of NIP and maybe digest that and have a game plan for it, right? Try to take Rookie out of the game. He's the main carry, right? I played Fun Plus on the money line -220 or -124 for 2.5x stake. This is all told is going to be a triple stake for me. So Fun Plus Phoenix money line -124 for 2.5 units. Fun Plus -1.5 maps at +168 for a half unit. And I played Fun Plus -2.5 maps at +474 for 0.2 units. They should just be bigger favorites. This price is way wrong. Again, market is way too rooted in its preseason prior. This NIP is getting way too much respect. This team's not as good as the market thinks it is. And that's been the case all season. And that's why they've performed as shit. Like, they're terrible as underdogs. So, no derivative plays for me in this one either. NIP have been a very low combined kill per minute team against playoff teams. FPX have been well above average, but those sort of balance out. I would lean to the overs, but I didn't ultimately play anything. So, big positions on Fun Plus and in the T1 match as well tomorrow, as well as those kill total overs. I feel very, very strongly about these. I think the market's just dead wrong on both these prices. Usually that means I'm going to lose both, and it's going to be real sad boy hour recapping tomorrow, but hopefully it's not. Hopefully we can get these home, and I will see you tomorrow.